We're going to be reading in Mark. In the 5th chapter. We've got quite a bit of cold, so let's have everybody pray for us. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. It's not only told here in Mark, but in Matthew and Luke, but it says in first verse, "And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him," this is Jesus now, "What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nine in the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, and that we may enter into them. For which Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There was about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him. Now listen, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come up, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home and tell thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've preached from this text, I don't know how many times since the Lord's called us to preach. And it's always a message to the lost and what the Lord can do for you. But we have it on our mind today, and if the Lord will allow that us that are here, that are born again, to do us well, to reflect on what the Lord has brought us from. And we find this place here that there's a man that was possessed with numerous amounts of devils, and we know that he was in great turmoil, that his turmoil was such that when they were cast upon 2,000 swine, that it caused them to run violently in the water. That goes to tell you how much pain one man can carry around in his heart. If he was to read the account in Luke, you'd find out that this man was naked, that he was unclothed. And if you was to read in Matthew, you'd find also that he wasn't alone, but that he had a companion, if you could call it that. That there was two there that dwelled in the tombs. And I thought, what an odd place to live. But you know, there's some people, and I would say all of us that are here today that have been born again, that in our life that's a very befitting place in which we would dwell. What's there amongst the tombs? What's in a graveyard? It's nothing but the dead. We know that if you go, you can go to Lebanon. Lebanon's got a mighty big graveyard. You don't have to go that far. You can go right outside this church.
And you'll see tombstones, and you'll see small ones, and you'll see big ones. If you go to a graveyard that's got a lot of or got any old graves, you might even find a piece of marble that has no name inscribed, just a tombstone. And you look at that, and you think, or at least I've thought in my time that when you look at that, I thought, well, look, they didn't even have enough money to have a name engraved. No doubt there was a name etched in that stone, maybe with another rock, maybe with some chalk or a rock scraped on there. I don't know. Maybe they placed it there and then placed a name. But time is wash that off, and then we'll see great monuments. If you go to Lebanon, you can see great monuments there built. great tombstones, not even tombstones, but what they call, I forget what they call them, but they're actually placed inside of them, and you look at them and you can say, obviously this person had some money. Well, no. We know of people that have died. We know of people that are children of those that were extremely wealthy, and because their children was full of sin, they went off and they lived a life that their family was very ashamed of them, that their family was heartbroken, and everything they tried to do for them, it seemed as if that they just turn it to naught, just wasting it away. And so when we see a fancy tombstone, or when we see a monument there in the graveyard, we can't just assume that that person buried there is a rich person. But we know that they come from a family that had enough wealth. I need y'all's prayers. We're going to get this preached out. I had enough wealth to be able to buy this. But one thing can be said of them all is that they're dead. They might have a fancy tombstone, or they might not have a marker at all. It might just be a little swag. I can take it to a graveyard over in Wright County. I can breathe a little better now. I'm thankful prayer changes things, aren't you? I can take you to a cemetery down there in Powell County, and all you'll see is just a swag in the ground. I don't know who's there, but my Lord does. I think about when I was in sin, and I was a lot like, and I ain't going to preach on Daryl. I can preach on any one of us that's here. There ain't one of us that weren't like that old man that was there being tormented in the graveyard. How many of us, when we was a little kid or something, we'd go and we'd walk in the graveyard. Boy, it makes your hair stand on your head. Why? Because of all the stories you heard about Hanks and whatnot. And it wouldn't take much to make you a little afraid. The wind would be blowing through the old trees. I can remember as a kid. I don't know why I was. It seemed like the only time they'd cause it gets so dark. Early in the wintertime. But the times I remember being around the graveyard in the dark. The leaves were off the trees. And them old limbs reaching up to the sky. And the shadows all around there. And I'm thinking about all those people used to be alive. And now they're dead. And I just kind of get a shiver. I'm thinking about it. But what did they tell me? Then I'd have to run as a little child would, because I didn't want to hear what the dead had to say. Listen to me. I'd like to tell you today, there is a one there that can speak. But we out of your count of the old rich man. It ain't a slave there in the grave. But what they tell Daryl Hensley, it'd be the same as they told you. Don't go to the grave all alone. This man here, he dwelled in the tombs. But we find out he weren't all alone, was he? Because his name was Legion. Because there was many. I can't imagine living a life as he did. But that's just the way the devil is. He is named the devil and his demons. Oh, a tree. His children better. But they're just bragging rights to the devil. Before we find the man there that dwelt among the tombs. clothes. And the Bible said he was naked. A man. I don't know what his upbringing was, but we know that he had a family. For Jesus told him to go and tell his family what took place. And we find a man up all the turmoil. No doubt his friends said, let's go help Legion. Let's help him. Look at him, winter's coming. He's out of his mind. He's running amongst the hills. And he's naked. He'll die of exposure. Let's go get him. Let's try to clothe him. Let's chain him up. Or just a little bit. So it don't hurt himself. Let's go get Legion. He's my brother. He's my son. They go there. They get him. Oh, I want a child on him down. Oh, no. This was a job more than for one. Oh, was it not? If you were of man, some no doubt, maybe, if you just see a picture today, of say old Legion was my brother, and you not hated him for what he'd done to me. We've heard of children that beat your mama, beat your father, hurt your brothers, but because of that love, and it ain't never family, but I'm thankful I was able to experience that love. I'd be worried about my brother, and you might see me going, walking toward the old cemetery. You'd say, Daryl, what you going to do? Well, he just seen my brother. He's running out on the hill, and he's naked, and I'm afraid he's going to die of exposure. Oh, but Daryl, you don't want to go out there. You know how he is. Well, I know. I tried to get somebody to help me, but because of what he done last time, I can't find nobody. And you'd be there. Because of your love for me, you just feel that tugging. You knew what it meant. It might be a busted mouth or a broken nose, but because of your love of maybe what Legion used to be, for your love for his family, you'd find yourself, as it were, amongst the multitude that went through the tombs, and you'd call out, and don't you imagine, old Legion there, I don't know how much he's in his right mind, but he knew Jesus when he come, and you'd hear him, oh, well away, and them old tombs, running about, as it were, a deer, and maybe the father, or the mother, would call out and say, and I don't know what his name is, but the Bible said those that were tormenting him, his name was Legion. So we'll use that today. But you could use my name. We could use yours. As they hollered out, Herbert, Herbert, Daryl, Daryl, whatever his name was, come here, winter's coming. I've got a cold. Your mama's made for you. Won't you go? You're going to die of exposure. Won't you come? Just come out. The tunes are a little bit. But there'd be no answer. So what'd you do? You'd go in there. And I guess you'd make. Maybe they come with torches at night. Maybe it was at the noonday sun. But they surrounded him. One get away. Another get an arm. And they try to hold him down. As he would. And maybe as you've seen. Somebody violent with rage. And it'll take five or six big old stout policemen to hold him down. They hold him down just long enough that they cut him Then they began to chain him down for his own good, no doubt. I wonder if there was some there that maybe even looked up, maybe Legion himself said, if there is a God, I wish you could set me free from my torment. You know, old Legion, he had the worst in them, but he weren't the only one, was he, that suffered? His family suffered. Maybe it was his son. I don't know. I don't know when he had that condition, if he even had any children. But I imagine because of what took place, I believe in the power of prayer. You know, there's a lot of people dwelling in the tomb, and the only friends they've got are the names on them tombstones. Maybe they'll talk, oh, Billy Joe, maybe Daniel Duncan, or whomever else they find on that tombstone, and they talk to them. That's the only friends they got. That's the only friends I had when I was lost. Was the tombstones from the glory of God. Somebody left Daryl. They come and he searched me out and he told me about Jesus. But I want to tell you, for whatever reason, I just couldn't believe. And I found myself tugging on them chains, just like this man we find here in the Bible. Oh, I don't know. Maybe the mama, maybe the father thought, well, we got him chained out there. See, it sounds like, I've read that before, and I thought, well, maybe it sounds like the people. I didn't care for him very much. But you know, I imagine the whole Legion there. He thought, well, they're trying to keep me all tied up. I can see him there tugging on his chains, looking at him. Probably had scars, did he not, around his wrists and his ankles from where he pulled. But the Bible said that he was able to break those fetters. This weren't a big old Hercules of a man, as much as it was a man possessed of many devils, to the point he was just reckless abandonment. He pulled and he pulled. I wonder, yeah, he cut his flesh and told himself to get set free, not understanding that his mom, that his daddy, that maybe a neighbor, that was sad, placed him there, had done it for his own good. He turned him off, and that old devil and them demons would come over him and say, get your clothes off, you ain't fit to wear them, you are mine, I'm yours, and you're my possession. And then old demons begin to beat that old man from the inside out. And he look at them clothes, maybe his mama, and maybe he said, I ain't fit to wear these. He begin to tear them off and run naked, shivering in the cold. But because of what was inside him, he didn't think he was willing or worthy to even feel the warmth of the clothes of one that loved him. Have you ever been there, church? That's where I was. Well, I'm glad. Because somebody, during the struggle, holding me down, taking me to the altar, they looked up. They didn't say as maybe the Gadarene said there, but they said, Lord, I know you're real. The Lord, I brought here my son, and I placed him at an altar. God, I need your help to change this world. Won't bind him. The clothes I made him won't give him warmth. Over from the Sea of Galilee, there comes a ship. I can see it in my mind. I imagine it was a cloudy day, but set for this sun, this ray of sun. The man who they call Legion was sitting on the side of the hill amongst the tombs, and he seen something that looked pretty. Hadn't seen something look pretty in a long time. And it was nothing but an old ship. As the sun shined down through the clouds like a spotlight, and it hit the old sail, and he began to watch it. I don't know how clear his mind was, or it seems as if the old devils that were in him would come and go. And he began to see everybody come up to that shore. And then there was somebody that left that ship. And now that ray of sun was shining on the one coming up. And the man that dwelt amongst the tombs, the Bible said he didn't wait for Jesus to search him out, but he come. And he come, the Bible said, to worship him and to fall down. Listen, aren't you glad just for a minute that the demons that ruled this man were a baby? And we find he came, and it says he began to worship the Lord. A man that night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, cutting himself with stones. I don't know how or when his last episode was where he took those stones and cut himself. Maybe that's his why. He chose not to wear any clothes because he cut himself. All he done was stick to him. But he come naked, the Bible says in Matthew, the 8th chapter. What a sight. To see one running from the tomb. Naked. Scars all over his body. Open wounds, no doubt. But coming, what to do? To worship an almighty God. Coming to fall at the feet of an answered prayer. Aren't you glad that somebody was praying for you? If you've been born again, I want to tell you right now, it was an answer to prayer. I don't care who you are. I pray for those that I've never met. I pray for those in this community. I pray for the children yet to be born. I'm telling you, God's people are a praying people. And God's people are a people that see God answering prayers. So we see this one. And he comes, as the Bible says. And he said, and it says, when he seen Jesus afar off, he didn't wait, but he ran. And he ran on scarred feet, ankles that once had fetters, but because of the torment of the devil, able to break free of him, but not able to break free from the demons. And he come to worship Jesus. But we find when he got there that the demons begin to cry out and say, "What shall I do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, and that thou torment me not." Now, this was a man that was very familiar with the supernatural, but unfortunately, he never came in contact with God. This was a man, you didn't have to convince him that there was a life after death, because this was a man that dwelt amongst the tombs. This was in a manner that you had to convince that there was evil forces in this world because he knew them right in his heart. But this was a man that had never come in contact with a righteous and a holy and a just and a pure and a sweet God that my Jesus is. And he come and he began to worship him. No doubt like he did when he first was entered into them old devils. Maybe you are here. You know the world don't like to call it that. They want to call it a physical condition. Every sin today, they call it the addiction of alcoholism, drug addict. They're addicted to sex, this or that. But it's a sin to everyone and a demon to some. You know, I can think of that as the man comes to Jesus and he wants to worship him, and then he begins to say, Lord, maybe he begins to turn away. Oh, what would you have me to do with you, Lord? Don't hurt me, Lord. I open myself up. I was a man full of questions, wandering, lonely, and I opened myself up to a demon, and he brought with him many more. Oh God, I know you're God, for even the demons within me shudder. Lord, what shall I do with you? And I will you die. What Jesus told him, well, it's the same as he'll tell me and you. When he said, come out of this man, thou unclean spirit. When he asked him, what is thy name? Jesus already knew it. He's wanting, he's calling your name today. It don't matter if you've come to church for 6 years. He wants to know your name. He already knows it, but he wants to call out to him and say, Jesus, this is your child, Daryl. Lord, I come before you. I don't want to dwell in the tombs anymore. Lord, see my open wounds. Heal me, God. I don't know why I'm bent on self-destruction, but God, I need your help. Jesus will tell us, just like he told this one, come out of this man. And he'll tell us that when he saves us, it'll come out of this world. Why is it so many today want the Lord and they run to him and they see him afar off, but they're content after they pray their prayer to turn around and go back to what they've been calling home? Have you noticed that? Some would have it. Really, wouldn't it be nice? A man in this position to find peace and to be set free from those many demons. If he could have just turned around. Don't you imagine that old tomb that he dwelled in would feel a little bit warmer? Don't you imagine that the dark would feel a little bit less frightening? Don't you imagine that the loneliness would have felt a lot less lonely? But what was the desire of that man? Well, we know that the Lord granted those devils a request, and they went over into 2,000 head of swine, filthy, unclean animals, according to the Mosaic law. And that the torment, the agony, the pain, the anguish that this one man carried around was enough to cause 2,000 swine kill themselves, to plunge into the ocean. Well, the old swine herders, that's a special kind of person to be a swine herder. Pigs are hard to herd if you ever try. Filthy job. But they come,
They told the people what took place. And the people come running. What do you imagine they come running for? They wanted to find out. I'd imagined 2,000 swine. That was probably not owned by all one man. I don't know for certain, but I know over there, even yet today, that there's men that run their sheep and their goats together. And they'd have a common herdsman. I'd say that this was probably the town's means of food. And they were coming to find out what on earth happened. Or that they lost all of this. And instead of rejoicing that there was one that was on their shore that was so great that the one that they couldn't bind with chains, that they couldn't keep clothes on, and that ran and cried and moaned in the tombs night and day, was sitting there clothed at the feet of the man that saved him. And what did they do? The Bible says that they were afraid and they prayed for the Lord to depart out of their coast. A man so great, and yet they turned him away. I don't know, maybe they had more than one herd. Maybe they got to thinking about, wait a minute, what about the guy that lives out there in the vineyards, plumb out of his head? If he meets him, no telling what will happen to her. Flock of chickens or herd of sheep. They were so afraid of what they might lose. Isn't it sad they didn't value the soul of that one person? They counted those 2,000 swine greater than that one man. You know, if you think about our lives, I heard about this week about a man. He was selling meth down there in, outside of Marshville in Mesquite County. There was a man and his girlfriend coming. I guess during this drug exchange, this man, never says how old his boy was, but his boy was tormenting this man that had come to buy some drugs. And the man that said the man struck him. And I don't know if this was just like a heel biter of a child that was running around just tormenting the man, or if this was an older boy. An older child that struck him. And the father of that child, a man that was nothing but a dope addict, thought it was awful. Here he was selling drugs to the fellow. And thought it was awful. This man would strike his child and shot him dead. And because this man's girlfriend was seen it, he shot her dead. Because he struck his child that most likely was a brat. Grown up in an environment like that. It said that he cut the bodies up and fed it to the hogs. And the bone remains that he burnt and he dumped in a pond. Here we find in the Bible where they didn't value the soul over 2,000 swine. This man here killed two people and fed them to his hogs. I've needed help in the past. And if it was up to certain people, I wouldn't have received any. But there's never been a time when I dwelt in the tombs and that I didn't cry out to the Lord that He was there. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't go into them tombs, but He enabled this man to see Him from afar off. The man wasn't intent on going back to the tombs, was he? When the people come, they've seen what Jesus done, they became afraid. Have you ever met people, maybe our loved ones, when we were out in sin and we got saved, that the friends that we ran with, when they looked at us, they begin to become uncomfortable. Why is that? Because they've told themselves all their life that there's nothing to salvation, there's nothing to Christianity, that you're either basically good or you're basically evil. And when they see one that dwells among the tombs get saved, they begin to feel that lump in their throat, and they begin to feel the Holy Spirit speaking to them and saying, I am real, and I can change your life. I can make you into a new creature just like your friend. And in their fear, they turn their friend away, and they go the other way. What did this man ask to do? Did he say, Lord, would you have me go back to the tombs? For there's no one to witness to. All the dead that he used to speak to, their time had passed. Their opportunity had went by. But his desire was to follow Christ. But instead, Christ sent him to go to his family, tell them what took place. Has Jesus met you outside of the tombs? Has he met you there just at the threshold of the cemetery? Well, if he has, he has set us free from the bondage of that place, and we don't have to dwell there anymore. And he's gave us a job to do. Some he would have to follow him, and the closer that we could follow him, the more we feel his presence. And others he sends us to go on a mission. What did he tell him to do? He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and have compassion on thee. Let us not forget the power of a testimony for what the Lord has done for us. I know we're a small church, and when it's asked if anyone has a testimony, I'm sure that if we was to take a poll, and we would, let's just say, the question was, we're going to have a testimony beaten. Who are the first two people going to testify? Bet you if you wrote it down, then almost all of us would get the same answer right. Because there's always, in any congregation, there's always someone in that congregation quick to stand up and testify of what the Lord has done for them or how much they love Him. But should it be that way? Shouldn't every one of us have a testimony of what the Lord has done? You know, I can remember praying. Because, we realize things. Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. But I can remember praying, Lord, reveal to me how you're working in my life. And you know, He'd show me. And that would be a reason to testify. You could stand up and you could testify of what the Lord has done. And it seems like the more faithful we're at doing that, the more that He is instrumental in our life. Let's get some song to sing. When men marvel, as the Bible says here, this man departed and he began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. If you was to stand and give your testimony, would men marvel? If you was to be mute, if you was unable to talk, and people was looking at your life, would they marvel at it? Well, I'm thankful that when the Lord meets us at an altar of prayer, that He still changes men's hearts, and that we no longer have to dwell in the tombs, and I no longer have to tell people, when they ask who my friends are, to remember the names written on tombstones, but that the Lord has given me a family and that cares for me and loves me, but most importantly, that I have a Heavenly Father that hears my cries, that I have a Comforter that the Bible says that He will send to all of His children, living within my heart, so that instead of being tormented by the passions of sin and the demons in our life, that we can be set free from them. And instead of feeling out of control, we can find the peace. Oh, I am so thankful. You know, sometimes we just need to pray, Lord, bring to our mind, not that we would look back as one with his hands on the plow and look back longingly, but the Lord would give us a memory of how needy we were and what he's done. I can remember so many times when the temptations were so strong and I was all alone in the tombs, and all I could hear was the wind blowing through the around the tombstones and the howl. Oh, it was such an empty sound. And one more time, I was led away by Satan. And I'm thankful when I gave my heart to the Lord. And I no longer dwelled in an empty graveyard, but that I dwelt in the house of the Lord. And that I felt His presence. And that the Word of God is true when He says that He'll not give us more than we can bear. We can trust on that, church. If you surrender to the Lord, if you bowed your knee, and when the Lord asks you, what is your name? Do you notice the man didn't tell Jesus his name that his parents had given him, but he basically confessed who he was. And that's what the Lord wants from us, to come before him and to confess to him who we are, so that he might reach down and tell us, yes, that's who you are. But I have a new name and a new life for you. Go ahead. You know, I couldn't understand. As we was preaching about that man and his friends tried to bind him, no doubt tried to clothe him. You know, when I was in sin, I couldn't understand why somebody would reach out and care so much for me until I met that Jesus. And He placed the love of God in my heart. And it provided me with much warmth than any coat could ever do on these shoulders of mine. I'm thankful that the Lord loved me enough that He walked around the tombs and called me out by name.